You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
This is Death in the Maiden with Leanest Cut. This comes from the brilliant new album Uneven Ground. You're on the 95 BFM Breakfast Show. On the line right now, we've got Hope Robertson from the band. Kia ora, Hope. How are you this morning?
Yeah, not too bad. Up bright and early.
Nice. Yeah, thank you for chatting with us. Congratulations on this beautiful record. It's been a long time in the making. How are you guys feeling having it out in the world now?
Yeah, pretty excited. We're all together on Friday. I went down to Dunedin for some practice. So, yeah.
It'll
pretty excited.
Feel real when you're all in the same room. Because where are you sort of spread around the country at the moment?
Danny and Lou are in Dunedin, out in the West Harbour area. And I'm up in Christchurch at the moment.
Nice. Yeah. South Island massive. Love to see it.
Yeah.
This is
covering all the bases.
Exactly. All the important centres. Sorry to Invercargill, but it is a beautiful record, and it has been quite a few years in the making. 2018 was the last time we got a full length from Death in the Maiden. That was Wisteria. Really great record as well. And to my understanding, this has kind of been chipped away at across that time in various forms. What's the sort of, life cycle of this album looked like?
Yeah, we did start making it like pretty soon after Wisteria, but I think, yeah, there was sort of, Danny kept buying more flash vintage things, so he wanted to replace all the drum machine. So I think initially it was like a TR-8, one of the reissued 808 drum machines, but then he bought a real 808.
Oh, nice.
So, him and Tom Bell, who produced it and engineered it, went through and replaced all the drum machine with proper 808. So that was something. We did get it all tracked, sort of. We do things quite live when we record. Mm. So we did get the sort of bass, drums, guitar sort of bits done pretty quickly. But then, yeah, COVID, and Lucinda had a baby, and yeah, that all happened.
Those are good reasons for things to take their time, I feel.
Yeah, for sure. The baby's really cool, so.
That's great. Yeah. That's really good news.
She fits in well with the band, so nice. We're bringing her on tour. Yeah.
Awesome. Is she going to do a set? That's what I'd like to know. Opening the space, maybe?
I reckon she could.
Yeah.
But it might be past her bedtime, I think, is the problem.
Annoying. Yeah. Annoying. But great. That is great. I feel like, you know, that's a really good reason for an album to take a while, is because you guys have been busy with other very important things and people. But, you know, there's a really strong through line through this record. Like, the time it's taken, I think, has given it a great, like, chance to kind of really marinate in the vibe, this kind of strong gothic framework that you've built around it. When you guys are writing and recording, obviously, that is, you said the tracking is quite a live process, but what's the kind of song construction look like? How does a track actually start off in Death in the Maiden?
Lucinda and Danny are both bass players, so they'll have a bunch of notes going on, and then I turn up and say, hey, what's this? How do I make a chord out of this?
Nice.
That's always been our process. Lucinda writes the songs, basically. But it is collaborative. Like, she'll write them, and then it's not like she's going to tell either of us what to do. We're going to do something, and she's going to say, that sounds cool.
Yeah, yeah.
She doesn't really ever say that sounds bad, but yeah.
I feel like you guys have played together for a long enough time now that you also must absolutely understand the sensibilities that you're each sort of bringing into a space as well.
Oh, absolutely. And, like, I don't know, the longer it goes on, the more Lucinda, I don't know, it's like just her working with Tom Bell as well, because we know Tom real well. Mm. Been mates with him for a long time. Used to live with him in Chick's Hotel.
True.
He knows how to get a good performance out of us, and I think there's a lot of, like, backing vocal cool stuff that Lou's done herself on this album. I was working a lot in a call centre at the time, so my input was a bit more minimalistic than Wisteria, because Danny and I did quite a lot of drum tracking and lots of guitar overdubs, and, like, I did quite a bit, but yeah, a large part of it was Lou and Tom. Just getting getting crazy with the backing vocals and the arrangement and stuff. I think that was something about this time, was that because of the way we'd recorded it and that everything was done in such a sort of nice quality that things could be rearranged easily, and it sounded smooth because, yeah, Tom and Danny knew how to do that.
Totally.
Yeah. So I think that's something that's different about this one, is the arrangement thing.
Yeah, and there's some really interesting features on this record as well, which I found really cool. You've got Alphabet Head and Cigna on one track, and then Samisi from Marlon's Dreaming does really beautiful backing vocals on the song we're going to listen to shortly. What was the kind of idea for bringing in other people? Did it just sort of feel natural at that point to have those like voices or vibes kind of brought into the space, or was it some sort of, I guess, more conceptual decision that you made earlier on?
No, it was not a conceptual decision made earlier on. I honestly have no idea. Sorry.
Felt right at the time. Nice.
Yeah. I think we were mates with the Marlon Dreamings guys, and I guess we've all played gigs in some format with Alphabet Head. I guess, and then Bevan Finer, he's mastered all of our albums, and Danny used to live in Wellington, so he's kind of mates with those kind of guys. And we've played with Glass Faults quite a few times. We've been playing in a band with Richard Larson down here as well, so that's it's always been a tight friend, musician friendship. I think it must have just felt natural to do that. I think there's been a vibe of wanting to do things a bit differently on this album, just because we had the chance as well to have it well produced and just kind of wanted to pull out all the stops kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Chicks Hotel, for you know, folks across the country, is quite a legendary space. It's been, you know, an amazing venue over the years. As you said, people have lived there, you guys lived there, and then also now Tom Bell's using it as a recording space as well, so it's quite a steeped history of that. Did it just feel right, natural, no-brainer to be using that as the location for recording?
Oh, yeah, I think we'd always wanted to be able to afford to have Tom do something. We've kind of, it's always been our thing that any money we make from the previous album we put towards making the next one better. Tom's not living at Chicks anymore. I think there's one person living there.
Wow.
He's moved his gear, moved his stuff around to the Masonic Lodge in Port Chalmers, which is actually where my other bandmate from Bad Sav used. That was where Bad Sav was born back in the day. So it's very full circle to be like back in the original practice space where these bands started kicking off. But he's decked it out, and we're going there for rehearsal at the end of the month. So
fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Oh, it's a great record, and really that's excited that you're bringing it up the country as well. We'll be able to see Death and the Maiden performing the Uneven Ground album tour on the 5th of July at the Wine Cellar with Greengrove. You're also going to be in Wellies, Christchurch and Dunedin as well. Thank you so much for speaking with us, Hope. Congrats on the album, and we'll see you in a few weeks' time when you make your way up the country.
Awesome. Thank you.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.